Welcome to Awakening Matters. I am your host, Cynthia Sloan. Awakening Matters refers to all of life because all of it is about the awakening and all of it matters, but it also refers to the physicality of matter, your mind, your cells, your physicality, as I've stated, all are co-creating, and everything is co-creating within the body of work that is you at the same time. So it's not your physical body, absolutely does not take into account or it doesn't hold itself in the past, and it doesn't hope for the future. All it knows is this present moment. And so we're going to talk about that today. If it resonates with you, make it your own. Just apply it to your own life and your own beautiful manifestation. If it doesn't, then again, make it your own. I have a little background on me. I have been an empath since I was a very young child, born into that conscious awareness and the ability to communicate with everything around me. And at around 5 years old, the ability to see auras and to communicate with plant life and to see the communication as well as the soul evolution as time went on to communicate with the cells in the body and the recognition that they were being communicated with at the time. And so, from my toe to my head, healing has continued, not only physically on a cellular level, but also on all other levels. Healing, celebration of life, joy of life, and just going for the ride. That's why we're all here. And so I've been talking to other people's cells and plant life and all forms of communication since I arrived. We were having some technical difficulties today, so I hope you can hear me, and I'll go ahead and begin. So, the physical body and our decision-making is very much aligned to so many factors, but absolutely aligned to the mind-body-spirit and all that that encompasses. And the mind-body-spirit, and that encompasses the cells and the circulation and the mind and all its capacities, known and unknown, for it to know itself and go beyond itself. And, of course, the soul in its ability to witness all of that and take it in and contemplate it. It is such an We are, as humans, such an extraordinary orchestra and walking, living, breathing library. It is, we are, and everything around us continues to be, meaning nature, etc., extraordinary. And why are we part of this vast, extraordinary universe? Because we are ourselves witnessing all that is, in turn witnessing ourselves. So I'm going to break it down even further and go into the relationship of the mind and the soul and we'll start there. How's that? So a lot of times in our meditations, our spiritual journey, our etheric journey, our energy journey, our vibrational journey, there's a desire to know more, to experience ourselves or somebody else or one another more in our expansive capacity. And so there's meditation. We go into meditation, or we go into even thoughts can be a wakeful meditation. Even conversations can create what? Alignment. All of a sudden, your body, your mind, everything is in alignment, and thoughts that weren't there previously are just flowing in. And so there is an awakening. There is soul evolution. There is so much going on. at all times, because I say to you, and I've said to you before, that the cells of the body and all the other aspects that comprise a physical body, and it is endless beyond even what medicine knows, the reason that it collaborates and works is because it communicates. Our bodies are communicating with themselves at all times. At all times. And what's extraordinary about that is that it is a multifaceted communication. But let's talk about the mind, the extraordinary aspect of the mind. The mind is as vast and as fear-based as your focus. What do I mean? What I mean is that there's a desire to know yourself and to go beyond the mind. And at times, thoughts come into play, whether it's in the generalization of your life or in meditation or in yoga, exercising, bike riding, pickleballing, walking, whatever it is that you are doing, that your mind can at times maybe tune into the joy or the freedom of that moment, and then following that, or later on in that evening, or first thing in the morning, are your mind begins having thoughts of fear, limitation, why you shouldn't, why you couldn't, why you can't, etc. And so why? I mean, it's interesting and fascinating why the mind would all of a sudden stretch itself so far and then come back like a rubber band into a place of contraction. And what I would say to you as a teacher myself, a healer, an author, a communicator, a speaker, et cetera, on these subject matters is that the mind is almost, if you will, at least a quarter of it. Your mind is a library, an extraordinary library. What do you mean? I mean, I'm laughing with myself. Not that you didn't hear that, but the mind, a quarter of the mind is a library, and that library is comprised of your past. In this lifetime, your past with your parents, your originating family of being. If you didn't have an originating family of being, whatever your journey was, all the emotions that relate to your early life, so to speak. And so this library is comprised of all, and by the way, we're talking about just a quarter of the mind, because beyond that quarter is all your past lives, and it's not just your mind, by the way, all the cells that comprise your entire body from head to toe hold your walking, living library of who you are, why you are, and that you are. I find that extraordinary. And what does that mean to you? How can it be of service to you? What to do with that? The beauty is, you don't have to do anything. But I will say that if you understand an aspect of your mind is doing one thing most of the time, and that is protecting you from things that scared you in the past, protecting you from the thoughts that free you and move you into a different, unknown direction. And this is why the mind, and not everybody, most people, but not everybody, most people are aligned to and connected and kind of anchored in the mental familiarity. The mind is about what's familiar. Why? Because what's familiar might be horrible. Truly, what's familiar might be horrible and not in your highest and greatest good, but it's familiar. And to the mind, what is familiar and horrible feels better than what may be peaceful but unknowing. And so the mental body of your library, your mental body is checking out books, pages, chapters at all times, not to keep you limited or in a box, but yes, at times to keep you safe. Self-preservation is usually, not always, housed within the mental body and its capacity, as well as the physical body, but we're talking about the mental body right now, to keep you safe from what you've already experienced as trauma. However, there's a glitch there, and that glitch is to keep you safe from what you've already experienced as trauma by keeping you in the trauma. Why? Because that's familiar to the brain. The brain knows how to work that, knows how to get through that, knows how to survive that. After all, even if you're still in what creates trauma for you, you are continuing to survive it. Are you thriving? No. Do you even want to be in it? No, but sometimes the mental body doesn't necessarily reach beyond itself for a path to freedom because it's the unknown. So what I am saying to you is that your own personal mental library, if you're at a place in your life, in your job, in your relationship, in your health, in your physical capacity, if you're wanting to choose something new, but you are focused on the thoughts that scare you, the thoughts that alarm you, the thoughts that limit you, please know those thoughts are loving only because they're trying to protect you, but from the past, what is already known to you. It's up to you and your focus to move beyond that and to check out some new books or to check out some new actions and to move out into your life, knowing that it might feel scarier because it's not familiar, but it doesn't mean it's bad. And then that information, let's say you go for a new hike, never been on it before. Yeah, I'm starting with a hike because I love to hike. So you go on a hike, but you've never been on that path before. It's symbolic, okay? And you're on that hike, but you don't know what's around the corner. And you don't know if there's going to be other people or animals or what have you. And so the invitation is that you go on that hike because you may uncover and discover and extraordinary things about yourself, but you also then, it becomes part of your library, and your library expands, and you face something that maybe didn't terrify you, but that was nonetheless unknown to you. The more things you can in your life introduce, whether it is reading, whether it is sports, whether it is relationship, job, friends, what have you, the more things you can introduce into your mental patterning that takes it from the familiar to the unknown, that then the unknown moves into a sense of, oh, okay, your mind will start relating to, oh, well, your mind might not sound like this, but as an example, the unknown is not scary. And it's not even that you're having conscious dialogues like this or that you're hearing the mind in this way. But when the unknown becomes no big deal and that the fear of it is okay or the concern of it is okay, am I saying don't listen to your intuition? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying ignore fear and jump off that, mountain. No, I'm not saying that. I am saying be mindful that your mind, if you are excited about something, if you're happy about something, if you desire to experience something, but your mind is talking you out of it, that you investigate that, that you have an inquiry to that, that you allow yourself to have new experiences or new thoughts even that take you from a limited place to an unlimited place, unknown, unknown to the mind, fully known to the soul. And that's why I say, what the mind does not know, the soul has already experienced. And so I would invite you to go from your mental body, if you have a question, a desire, a goal, or something you want to accomplish that your mind is not, let's just say your mind is arguing with you about. Now, if you have this fight or flight energy or signal from the mind, then listen to that and don't do it. I'm not talking about something so extreme. I'm talking about every day, hopefully every day, choices or even thinking and beyond that, that are the unknown so that your mental library can expand and the unknown is not so scary or limiting anymore. Because after all, we are very aware of our senses. I mean, some say there's five. There's so many more than that. However, that your biggest sense in this universe and your ability to tune into it and listen is your soul. It bypasses the mind, all the libraries, etc. And by the way, don't forget, your cellular body is also a walking, living, breathing library of all your past lives, of your soul evolution. And so your cells have a lot more knowledge for you and with you and aligned with your soul to inform the mind and to free you. So how do you access all that? Well, everybody accesses it differently. And so, say that five times fast. But I will say to you that, of course, quieting one's mind, quieting oneself, tuning into the soul, starting a dialogue, asking a question. The question can be, you know, who am I? Or I am love. I would like to know why I love flowers so much, etc. Whatever your questions you're posing, I invite you to do it prior to sleep so that your dream state can be answering you. If you're not consciously awake and aware of a dialogue between you and your soul, then it's more so your mind and you, I would pose these questions to any questions to your soul prior to going to sleep and then ask for the answer either in dream state or upon awakening and then write that down. And so there's one of many tools and opportunities that are out there. The other thing is, the more you inquire with the soul, the more you're talking to the totality or the wholeness of who you are. You're not just talking to your mind, you're talking to all of you, which includes your mind, but you're talking to all of you in the form that there is a much bigger voice and it is unlimited. It is supportive, and it is more apt to say, so as an example, you talk to the mind about going for a new opportunity. The mind will say, no, possibly say, no, because of this, 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 and this, or be careful with this, 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 and this, or warning, this, 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 and this. Where if you talk to the soul, your soul body, your heart body, and you pose the same question, there's a likelihood that you feel adrenaline that's released to support the forward movement in that, and you feel hopeful, and you feel, for lack of a better term, your insides, your soul, and your heart body center saying, go for it. Yes, go for it. Where it's important to take that, to take in, actually, I'm going to change what I was going to say, to take in the fact that you are a being that is in complete and total wholeness and you have a very strong voice that isn't always heard through the mind. So the mind has a sister, okay, a colander, a mental colander. And so the mind is going to put through the colander only so much, where the rest of you would allow all that is not, the colander's not able to handle because it's too small or it's not big enough or what have you. The rest of you, your heart feeling, your emotional body in connection to your soul knowledge and your wisdom. In fact, another tool for you to use about any question that you have about anything in your life is to say, okay, I'm at, if any of what I've shared previously right now doesn't, prior to now rather, doesn't resonate, try this. And that is, take the same question and ask your mind, receive the answer. Then pause, take a deep breath, put your hand over your heart, ask your heart center the same question. Get that answer, write it down. Then put your hand over your solar plexus, which is below the heart center, and ask your soul the same question. It's fascinating to see that more often than not, you get three different answers. And those three different answers, neither one of them is wrong. One's maybe more limiting, one is less limiting, and the other one is unlimited. And you go with whatever answer you want, or even just contemplate it for a while. So what I am saying to you is that you do have an internal, not just library, but you have internal guidance about your external world. But as we approach and we move through this external world, regardless of your age, where you are, what you're going through, I'm going to say to you that what happens to you externally, or the conversations that you have externally, are going to matter less to you, begin to matter less to you. And instead, your inner voice and your inner conversations with that person's soul, with the consciousness of whatever it is you're focusing on, you really want to bring forth the ability to hear your inner voice. How do you do that? Not unlike the tools I've given you today, but also trusting that you have an inner voice. So you know you have an inner voice, but here's the key. You want to discern between, oh, that's my mental body protecting me or causing me to take it really slow or to wait. Now, let me pause for a minute, because Spirit wants to talk about something in regards to that, what I just said, and that is the mental body is not wrong. I'm not saying don't listen to your mental body. It's always wrong. No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that the mental and the emotional body can sometimes become really intense, and you're feeling deep emotions and you don't know why, and that's because the emotional body may be triggering your mental body, or vice versa. Your mental body may be triggering your emotional body about something in your past, which really doesn't have to do with the future other than the one word that seems to be present, and that is fear. So in this universe, in this world, in your emotional body, so I'm breaking it down from the biggest to the smallest, and that's, again, just for word's sake, because it's really... there's nothing small about you. So if we break it down, there are really two areas that we coexist on as humans, love or fear. And that fear is false energy appearing real. The word fear actually reveals to you that it is false. So false energy appearing real, where love is life offering valuable experiences. And so, I'm sure there are many people who can make many different words from those words. Whatever works for you as a reminder that fear Yes, it has its place to alert you, to cause you to pay attention to your intuition, where the vibration of love, and I'm not talking relationship love with another person, I'm talking the energy of love with yourself. So your own relationship of love and how you love yourself. And so another tool would be about decision making. Okay, what would fear say about this, 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 and this? What would love, my love with myself and the energy, universal energy of love that flows through me, what would that love and vibration say about this? And so that's another tool for you to utilize. You want to hear from all parts of you. I will say that expanding and going within and expanding your feeling body and your connection to your soul knowledge and that voice is the way to move forward in a way that's very supportive and empowering and expansive. And now, how is that? I would say to you, things like music that really empowers you, and especially music that takes you inward. And yes, some music that takes you inward might be emotional at first. And I invite you to move beyond the emotion into the depth of that music that takes you into the depth of you. I mean, the greatest and most incredible journey to take in this lifetime is the one with yourself, and especially moving through who you are, how you are, why you are, and what's possible. It's extraordinary, but you have to have as much interest within you than you do outside of you. I was going to say without you. And there are aspects of your external world that don't include you, that include your focus on other people. And your focus on yourself should be included at all times. When you love yourself, and believe me, I've experienced both, when you love yourself, it informs the universe that you are ready to receive. So if you are struggling in any area of your life, when you love yourself, now how do I mean love yourself? I mean, what is your personal dialogue? Are you beating yourself up? Are you judging yourself? Are you calling yourself names? Are you feeling less than? Are you taking others' people's opinions and putting them before yours? Do you even have an opinion of yourself? Because growing up with out being given the opportunity to even experience your self-definition, you end up absorbing 25,000 other people's opinions of who you should be, how you should be, and who you are, and you are completely going off of that. And so I say to you, whether you are an adult, whether you are whatever age you are, your soul is infinite, endless, and with outside of time. And so I say to you that your opportunity is, regardless of your past, right here and now, to start changing your inner dialogue. And the beauty of this is when you have a negative dialogue or a negative thought or a fearful thought, please take a moment and pause and choose a positive statement to replace that negative one. If you have, if you're in a depression and you've been in it for a while, take a moment to pause and focus on the part of you that has not joined your depression, and that would be your soul body. So you're talking to your soul body and you're saying, I call forth something other than depression. I call forth light. a lightness of being, a wellness of being. And I call that forth now to embody it and to become it and to literally transmute the depression. So you have access to many other avenues to shift and change what you are going through in your life right now. And to access those places, you need to love yourself enough to reach for them, to reach internally, to communicate internally with the soul body, the physical body. If you have a part of your physical body that is not working the way you want it to be, or you don't feel well, saturate that part of you with love. So you call upon compassion for that part of your body. You thank it for hanging in there. You change. So a lot of times when there's a problem with the physical body, whether it is a limb or whether it's an illness, there's a lot of negative self-talk. I mean, it's very hard for the human being to not feel good and to rally on and be positive. But I say to you that your body is already vibrating at a lower frequency. And so talking to it in that lower frequency, if from a negative, is only going to amplify and grow that discomfort or that issue. You're kind of going, yeah, I know you don't feel good, and I'm going to hear some more. And here's some more. I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to meet you at that vibration. I'm going to focus on how bad I feel. And I'm going to, when you do that, whatever you focus on, you're going to give life to. And so if you're focusing on that negativity, you are amplifying that negativity. So I say to you as an invitation, if it resonates, if it doesn't, throw it out, focus on loving that part of yourself. Yeah, you might be like, but wait, I'm sick. I don't feel good. I don't want to love that. It means it'll stick around. No, it's the opposite. I have healed myself at a level and in a degree that I can guarantee you. You focus on the parts of your body, your emotional body, whatever it is that you're going through, and you send it love and compassion and gratitude and whatever you can think of that you want to hear from a loved one. Let's say there's no loved one. Let's say there's no relationship. Let's say you're alone. But if you can think of, oh, I really wish in my childhood I would have heard this, say it out loud and say it to the body part or to the issue. If you're thinking, I really wish I had somebody around to hold me. I really wish I had somebody around to sing to me or to be with me. Turn on some music and say, this song is for me, for my body. So you see what I'm saying? You want to raise the vibrational frequency of the thing you're focusing on. And so if you are sick and not feeling well, or if there's something wrong with a particular location in your body, by focusing on it in love, you raise the vibrational frequency. What does that mean? It means you oxygenate the area. Most places in the body that are not working correctly or ill, the oxygenation in the body is decreased. So focusing on that area and increase the oxygen by the focus of your words and your light and your love, all of a sudden, the body is able to breathe there and breathe with you. And what are you doing when that happens? You are showing up for yourself, literally, and you're saying, I care enough about myself to give myself what was taken from me and give it back to me. Taken from you by an illness, taken from you by an injury, but your focused intention in the conscious moment, you are transmuting that, which means you are clearing it and you are putting in its place that vibrational frequency, which aligns with intention, it aligns with energy, and it aligns with breath, oxygenation, etc. And so you breathe life back into yourself. And you continue doing that in as many ways as every moment that you feel bad, you can feel bad. I'm not saying don't feel bad. You want everything that you do to be authentic. Otherwise, it is not impactful. It doesn't change things. It stays the same. And so you want it to be authentic and truthful. If you're angry that you don't feel good, be angry. If you are frustrated that you have an injury, be frustrated. I'm not telling you don't, but I am telling you after you have those experiences, pause, okay, because you've already expressed yourself in that way, and go to the love. Go to the higher vibration. If you're like, I can't access it, I'm too pissed off, I'm too cranky, I can't access love right now, that chick, I don't get what she's saying, etc., then I say to you, focus on somebody else's injury. Focus on, I don't care if it's a YouTube video, that you're watching it and it brings up love in you, or a song, or Mother Nature, or pictures from your past, whatever it is, that you literally activate the vibration of love in you, even if it's towards your beloved animal. And you're feeling love for that animal, just allow it and guide it back to you. And then say, I am open to receiving this. I receive all the love that's being sent to me, or that I'm sending to my animal, and my animal sending back to me, or my loved one, etc. So see, there are endless ways in the universe and in your world to experience making your reality what you want it to be. But no person, place, or thing can change or make the changes you want within you. You must be the change you want to see. Okay? There's a saying going out around out there for you to say, what I am seeking is seeking me. And so what I want to manifest is on its way, and I am manifesting it for me. Again, make it your own. The love I feel for myself is coming into my life, whatever it is. But know that if your focus is hopeful, if your focus is light instead of heavy, if your focus is opportunity instead of lack, you are tuning into a different vibrational frequency, one that gives and expands and is endless versus one that is limited. So I want to share with you it's still on the same topic, but I want to share with you something about your wholeness, your thoughts, and your emotional body. When somebody does you wrong, let's just say, when somebody does you wrong and you are angry at them, so be it. You're angry at them. But you want to start to shorten the duration of time that you are angry at somebody else, because for you to hold the energy of anger towards another hurts you, not the other person. And so you want to shorten it until you start to understand, wait a second. I love myself so much that I am not interested in holding hate, disappointment, irritation, or anything that's going to make me feel bad, because that's me not loving myself. That's me hurting myself. And I love myself enough or so much that I will no longer embody anything but love for myself. Now, does that mean, if you're listening, you might be going, oh, okay, great. That's great. So I can't be angry at anyone or anything. So sky's the limit. Anything goes? No, not at all. I said, go ahead and feel angry, but limit it and then decide, wait, do I want to write this down? Do I want to send an email? Do I want to send a voicemail? What action do I want to take, if any? And then release it and let it go. Or get to a point where you're like, hey, that's not my stuff. That's your stuff. I'm out. So I'm out can mean literally I'm done. I'm out. I'm walking away. Or it can mean I'm out. I'm not going to carry the result of your actions in my body. Uh-uh. I'm going to hold love in my cells. Now, I started off the conversation saying all our cells are communicating with each other. They are communicating with each other. And so they're communicating. I mean, why are there trillions and billions of cells in the body and they're able to communicate as one united unit walking around and co-creating within itself? Because by the way, your cells are not calibrated just to your thoughts or even to your incarnation. Your cells are here having their own experience as well. And they're, your cells that make up your entire body are needing to communicate, because this show is called Awakening Matters. And the physical matter of your cellular body is able to love itself so much that it is able to communicate from a place of love and co-create and navigate and heal itself and show up day after day. I have seen so many, from children to adults, cells that were distorted, broken, imbalanced, barely oxygenated, completely restored and rebalanced and oxygenated and present because of the choice of the human, not, let's just say the human that the cells are in, the body of the human, that the human stopped being a burden or a negativity. So the body's then holding two different vibrations, and there's a part of the body that is not hearing itself. And so the body bypasses that part of itself in order to continue in the vibration of love. And when I say the vibration of love, again, I'm not talking a human love and relationship, and I'm talking about the relationship of cell to cell, organ to organ, circulatory system, the brain, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm talking about how the cells are able to manifest, create, and be based on a vibration of oxygenation and love, not a vibration of fear and lack. So if you're experiencing fear and lack in your life, there's a likelihood it will affect, and let's say it's long-term. Short-term, not so much, but long-term, your physical body, more so than not, is going to be affected. And by that constant duality of internal love, hate, fear, frustration, judgment, sad, I mean, it's just chaos within. And so then people come to me with many, many issues physically, and we look at the totality of the body, including the mind. The mind is extraordinary. There really isn't anything that's in the body that's not extraordinary and wonderful and breathtaking, especially on a cellular level, because of what it offers, what it does, and how it assists you. And by the way, the ability for the body to completely transmute itself and make itself new in ways that many people don't understand. So today I'm going to go back to where I started. I invite you to really think about the library of your mind. Is it more negative or positive? Is the library of your mind holding a balance of both? That's great. Do you want to have more of your mind or your mind's dialogue be positive, hopeful, kind of like a cheering section for you? Yes, that's possible. You have to shift your focus, because what you focus on, you become. What you focus on, you become. Don't hold somebody else's anger, or let's say don't hold somebody else's treatment of you within you in a way that harms you. You can have a conversation. You can feel angry at the moment. You can feel frustrated, disappointed. You can feel all those things and then choose what the end feeling is going to be. And hopefully you choose a loving, you choose the understanding that to hold within you the disturbance of what transpired with another person, it does not behoove you. It is not loving towards yourself, and it doesn't help your body, your library, or the trillions of cells in your body. It simply introduces into your body somebody else's soul signature, by the way. So you go, I'm so angry about this person. And so all of a sudden that person is included in your cellular interaction. And I'll talk about soul signatures in my next segment in 2 weeks. So if you want to find out more about me, I have a website. It's Cynthia Sloan, S-L-O-N, no E or A. I have a YouTube channel and under the same name, and you can find all of it under Cynthia Sloan. And I have a book that I wrote called Point of Light, where you can heal yourself. I wrote that book because I healed myself on many levels and have continued to heal beyond that. And so I say to you that you are extraordinary, and maybe you start there. You are extraordinary, and your inner world is what is driving your external experience. And there'll come a time on Mother Earth, in fact, I think we're in it now, where if you want to see change, you don't necessarily just affect your external world to see change, but you change on the inside, and then you watch the outside change to reflect that. So in my next show, I will discuss soul contracts, soul signatures, and, anything else that comes up. So blessings to you. Thank you for joining me. You are extraordinary, and I will say bye for just now.